So this morning we are continuing in our sermon series, our short-term sermon series that was inspired by a book by a writer named Henry Nouwen. And the book is called The Life of the Beloved. In this book, Nouwen examines the life of Jesus himself, and he talks about how Jesus was the bread of life. And as the bread of life, Jesus was taken or chosen by God. He was blessed by God. He was broken by God, and he was given away by God for the life of the world around him. And what Nouwen says is that when we share our lives in Christ, when we live as Christians, then our lives take on that same kind of pattern. We find that in our lives, God does the same thing in and through us, taking us or choosing us for himself, blessing us, calling us and claiming us as his own, breaking us open and giving us away for the life of the world around us. This is what it means for us to know that we belong to God, that we too are God's beloved. Today, we focus on the second part of those four themes, what it means to be blessed, or what it means to be people who can receive and share God's blessing. To do that, we're going to look at two different scripture readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And I invite you to turn there in your own Bibles or to read on the screens behind me as we hear God's word. The first is Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. This is the famous benediction of Moses and Aaron to God's people. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." And then our second reading is from Matthew's gospel. It's the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by his cousin John. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Both these readings from Numbers and from Matthew are for us today the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's join together in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do give you great thanks for this Sunday morning and for the privilege that it is for us to gather in worship and to hear your word proclaimed. We ask, Lord, that you would speak. We trust you are speaking, but we ask that you would speak a particular word to each and every one of us. And I ask that the words of my mouth, but also the meditations of all our hearts, would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the theme, as you've gathered this morning, for us in this sermon series, the theme for us is a theme of blessing. The theme of receiving God's blessing and sharing that blessing with others. Because we know when we examine our lives, certainly when we read through the story of Scripture, that blessings matter. That often blessings are how we know God is at work, connected to us in life, often through the words, through the affirmations of other people. I think about some personal examples from my life that jumped out to me this past week as I reflected on this very theme. I thought about the church that I grew up in down in Georgia, a United Methodist church, not the one I was baptized in, but the one that I was confirmed in. I can still remember standing in front of the congregation alongside these other confirmands and receiving God's blessing in and through the pastor and through our brothers and sisters in Christ that morning. It was their way of saying, "Welcome to the family of God." Many years later, I remember standing in that same sanctuary getting married. It's the same place that Aaron and I were married, and I have this distinct memory of looking out over a different congregation, seeing all of our family members and friends who had gathered there, and knowing deep in my bones that they had our backs. It was another way of receiving God's blessing. And then, many years after that, I think of a different sanctuary down in Raleigh, where I was serving when I met Pastor Leon, White Memorial Presbyterian Church, where I was first ordained. And I can still imagine and remember the feel of the tile floor when I knelt down and felt all these hands come over me, the hands of the elders of the church, as the prayer of ordination was prayed over me, the church's way of saying, "We affirm your call into ministry." It was an example of God's blessing, God's words of affirmation, God turning his face towards me and saying, "Yes," upon me and upon my life, in the form or in the presence of other people. What comes to mind for you this morning? Can you think of similar examples of blessing that you have received? Maybe in the church, maybe outside the church, but times when you have known that God is on your side, that God is with you, that God is for you, and perhaps he's letting you know that through the physical presence of other people. People in your midst, people who you know have your back, people who you know care and who can walk with you throughout the course of life. Blessings matter. They remind us that God desires a relationship with us, to stay connected to us, not just to call us and claim us as his own, but to walk beside us every step of our lives. I love the way Henry Nouwen puts it in his book, Life of the Beloved. This is the book that we're reflecting on this month. This is what he says. To give a blessing is to affirm or to say yes to a person's belovedness. A blessing touches the original goodness of the other and calls forth his or her belovedness. And what Nouwen is saying is that that's what God does when God blesses us. He names, he touches, he calls forth our own belovedness. But not only that, he invites us to do that for each other as well. That's what it means for us to live a blessing life. It's not just to know and believe that God loves us, although that can be more challenging than we'd like to admit if we examine our hearts and our lives, but it's also to share that love with other people that they might know God's love too. This is what we see taking place in the arc of Scripture, but it's definitely what we see in our two Scripture readings this morning. This calling forth of belovedness, this naming of belovedness as God shares his blessing. Think about what we see in Numbers chapter 6, this famous story of Aaron's blessing, Aaron's benediction. The word benediction and blessing just mean the same thing. A good word, a good proclamation. In this case, it comes when the Israelites are deep in the wilderness, spending their 40 years kind of wandering and waiting upon God. And God comes to a man that he's called to be his high priest. In this case, Aaron, Moses' brother. And he tells Aaron to give a blessing to all the Israelites. And it's the one that we've just sung, or you've heard our worship team singing. It's the one I've just read from Numbers chapter 6. But it goes like this. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. With this," God says, "you will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Because the fear, evidently, among the Israelites was that God didn't bless them. That somehow, in some way, God was against them because, well, historically, they had been living against God in their sin. They had gone astray. And so perhaps they wondered that they had been disobedient to God and therefore God was angry at them. Or that God was indifferent towards them. Or perhaps God had abandoned them altogether. We see this in Exodus, for example, when the Israelites are thinking, you know, maybe we would have been better off in slavery in Egypt. Maybe this God of Israel, this God who has called us and claimed us for himself, doesn't really have our best interests at heart. Maybe we can't trust him, or maybe he is fundamentally opposed to us. You've perhaps thought those thoughts before too in your own life. Maybe there's this enmity between me and God. Maybe God doesn't care about me at all. And yet what we see is that this is not the case, as we discover in Numbers chapter 6. Think about last week as well with this language of election, God's covenant love. Numbers chapter 6 shows that on full display, how God comes to Moses and tells Moses to go to Aaron to receive this blessing and to share this blessing with all God's people, who can then share it with all the world. It's not, I'm against you, I'm indifferent to you, I've abandoned you. It's, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. God shares it as a way of cementing, clarifying his covenant love for his people. He doesn't want there to be any doubt of his intentions, doubt of his heart, doubt of his character. He wants to make it abundantly clear that these are people whom he loves. And by the way, we should clarify this, that when we're talking about blessing this morning, we don't mean it, at least as believers, the way that our culture tends to mean it. And I trust that you know what I mean by this, right? Think about all your social media feeds, Facebook or Instagram or whatever, people with big smiling faces, shiny new toys perhaps, and underneath it there's a phrase, hashtag blessed. Tends to make us think that blessing, or to be blessed, is simply to live a luxurious life, or to live an easy life, or to live a life of entitlement, us setting the agenda, us getting what we want, my will being done. But when it comes to scripture and a Christian understanding of the term, that's not what we're talking about today. In fact, we're talking about something that kind of flips that on its head. Not our agenda's winning out, but God's agenda winning out. We're talking about a life of trust, a life of dependence, a life of faith, hope, and love, in which we open ourselves up to who God is and what God is doing, and we say, thy will be done. Which, if we're honest, can often lead to more hardship and struggle in life. Can lead actually to some persecution, to death even, as we see in the history of the church, even while throughout we know that God is for us. And so it's important, I think, for us to discipline our speech and perhaps our actions this morning when it comes to language of blessing. Not to say we shouldn't use that term, but we should use it in a way that's faithful to what we see in Scripture. And in case this sounds too Debbie Downer, by the way, y'all know Debbie Downer? You know, wonk, wonk. Like we're only focusing on the negative definition of blessing, right? Well, we don't want to be like the culture around us, whatever. We just need to remember Jesus himself. When it comes to understanding what it means to be blessed, and when it comes to understanding our reception of God's blessing and sharing of God's blessing, we need to keep Jesus front and center. Because what do we see in Jesus? Well, this turns our attention to our second reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. This reading, of course, takes place when Jesus goes and wants to be baptized by his cousin John. He goes to the riverbank, and John's like, hey, why are you here? You should be baptizing me. And Jesus is like, no, actually, you don't understand. This has to happen so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. It's kind of an enigmatic way of saying, this has to happen so that I can fully inhabit my people's story, so that I can enter into the people of Israel's story, so that I can redeem it from the inside out and reveal the Father's love, not just to Israel, but to all the world. And I picture John being like, okay, all right, let's go for it then. Truth, though, is that this is a beautiful act of grace. Jesus, who could have shown up and made all kinds of demands, instead saying, I want to go down and humble myself. I want to enter into the waters of baptism so that all these people can know, Israelites, Jews, and Gentiles alike, that their Father is with them and for them, and that there's nowhere they go that he does not go to. And so Jesus enters into the water of baptism, and as he does, the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit comes down, and you hear that voice, the voice that we all crave, we all desire, that we all need to hear throughout the course of our lives, the voice of the Father that says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Not like, who's that guy again? Or I'm angry at that guy who's identifying with these sinful Israelites, or I've abandoned them altogether, so I can't even be bothered. The Father says, you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Literally translated, you are the beloved, the one in whom I take great delight. It's the reception of the Father's blessing that Jesus takes upon himself. He's blessed, but he's not blessed in the way we think he might be blessed, a life of privilege, luxury, entitlement, or ease. No, he's blessed in a way that looks like fully dependent on the Father's will, Because what happens right next in the story, if you look at all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then you'll see right after Jesus' baptism that Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days, just like those Israelites were tempted in the wilderness for 40 years, and it was not easy. It was not hashtag blessed. Nevertheless, the Father was with him, and the Spirit was upon him, and so we know Jesus had what he needed to endure, to resist that temptation, and to remain as God's beloved. And then after that, Jesus goes into Galilee. He walks the dusty roads of discipleship, calling people to himself. And it wasn't easy there either. He does all these miraculous healings and teachings. He forgives sins. He even raises the dead. And people start to bite against him because he's disrupting the status quo. It definitely wasn't easy. And yet even still, the Father was with him. And his Spirit was upon them. And he could live as God's beloved. And then ultimately, of course, we know Jesus went into Jerusalem. And he went all the way to the cross. And in so doing, he revealed himself as the great high priest of God's people, not Aaron before him, but Jesus himself, mediating God to them and them to God. Jesus made things right, reconciling us to God and to each other by dying for us. And even still, even in this darkest of moments, even in the despair of death, when it felt like hashtag blessed was the farthest thing from the people's imaginations, we see the Father with him. We see the Holy Spirit upon him. We see that Jesus did have what he needed to endure and to know, even through death, that he was God's beloved, so that 3 days later he could rise again and claim the victory over sin and death forever. Not only that, though, Jesus stuck around for, do you know how many more days? I bet you can guess. 40 in his resurrection glory, proclaiming the good news of God's victory. This resurrection life, Jesus made his way back into the region, basically saying, hey, look, you thought you put me to death, but you didn't. I'm alive again. And not only am I alive, I'm here to continually tell you about the Father's blessing. I'm here to prove it to you that God loves you. And as we learned last week, God's love is enough. And after those 40 days, the end of Luke tells us Jesus was ascended up into heaven. And do you know what that scripture says? That as Jesus went up into the sky, mysteriously, spiritually, do you know what he did? He blessed them. He blessed them. Jesus went back to his Father and their Spirit, still blessing them. And not only that, but afterwards he poured out the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost so that that blessing could be in us, working through us even still. All of this means today, here and now, First Pres Winston-Salem at the 11 o'clock service, what is the triune God of grace doing? He's blessing us, which means he's blessing you. His back is not turned, his face is not hidden, his heart is not angry, his frown is not, you know, frowning. He is instead gazing upon each and every one of you, me, all of us, with love, so that in and through Jesus Christ, we too can know that the Father's blessing, the blessing of baptism, has truly been declared over us as well. This is my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is the promise of the Christian faith that we enter into through our baptisms into Christ by the Spirit, just as we heard the prophet Isaiah talking about last week. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. The flood will not overcome you. The flames will not burn you, for I am the Lord your God. I will continue blessing you. There's a pastor in Baton Rouge at First Presbyterian Church there named Garrett Dawson, who's written a little book on this called The Blessing Life, in which he unpacks all of these dimensions of God's blessing, biblically and theologically and otherwise. And I love one image that he gives in this book. It's the image of the sky over our heads. This is what he says. The blessing hands of Jesus Christ are over us. Whenever we look up at the sky, we can imagine the ascending Christ with his arms outstretched. Wherever we go, of course, we go under the sky above us. So wherever we go under the blessing mission of the Lord Jesus. His hands, like a great shell of protection over all our days on this earth. There's nowhere else we can go, right? There's nowhere we can escape it. The sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, the transcendent blessing of Jesus Christ made known to each and every one of us. I was thinking about this just a few weeks ago when I had the privilege of going to Colorado for a pastor's retreat. And we spent some time in Estes Park and in the Rocky Mountain National Park. And sometimes it takes us Southerners going out west to appreciate the beauty of God's sky and God's creation. We can get glimpses of it here, but you really need to get out where it's a little more arid, a little higher elevation in order to go, wow, right? That was my experience being with these friends of mine, going hiking in the national park, looking up at the sky and thinking of these words from Garrett Dawson. Wherever we go under the sky, so wherever we go under the blessing. The blessed mission of the Lord Jesus. The hands of God like a roof above us, spanning the heavens, certainly covering me and covering you. Do you need to receive this blessing today? Do you need to remember it for yourself so that you can put it into practice in your own life, not just in your heart internally, but in your relationships externally? My hunch is each and every one of us could give a hearty amen and a yes to those questions, especially as we live in the midst of so many other voices and temptations, things that want to make us think we're not blessed or that we're blessed in these kind of selfish and secular ways. We love to play comparison games. We love to fall into these traps of self-doubt, self-flagellation. I'm not good enough, which means you're not good enough. And let's perpetuate these patterns of sin that we see really ever since Adam and Eve. Let this be an opportunity to come back home again to the Father's blessing over each and every one of you. Not a curse. It's so easy to think we're cursed these days, to read the news, to read the headlines, or to just examine our own hearts and think, yeah, we're trouble, right? The invitation, though, is for us to slow down long enough at God's speed to believe the deeper truth that as far as the curse is found, that is as far as God has come and reached each and every one of us, so that we then might turn outwards and share his blessing with those we encounter. I think of a story that Andy Crouch told in one of his books. Andy's a writer, done some really great cultural kind of reflection and work. He talks about going to an airport and sitting in the concourse and simply people watching, which we've all done likely before, although today we're tempted just to be on our phones. Andy said he put his phone away and he looked at all the faces that were passing him by. And do you know what he said as he noticed each and every one? Image bearer, image bearer, image bearer, image bearer. And that was his way of transforming that experience of, oh, here I am in the airport. This is like this cursed place, right? To all of a sudden, what holy ground I have discovered that I'm in the very presence of God's blessing, not just for me, but for my neighbors, for my brothers, for my sisters as well. Even for those that I might disagree with, have nothing in common with, or want to push against and fight against as my enemies, could they be blessed too? So here's what I want us to do, and then we'll come to the Lord's table. I want to invite you to do something right along with me, just for a minute or so. I want you to put your hand on your heart this morning. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to repeat after me as we remember the good news of our story and our theme this morning. I want you to say this with me. I am God's beloved child, and his blessing is upon me. Take a deep breath and receive it for yourself. And now, take that same hand and put it out towards somebody around you. You don't have to touch them, you know, just gesture towards those who you might be with. Extend it outwards, though, and repeat after me again and say, you are God's beloved child. His blessing is upon you. Take a deep breath and offer it to your brother or your sister today. And now you can put your hand back, but I want you to close your eyes and take another deep breath and do perhaps the hardest thing yet this morning. I want you to imagine someone you might struggle with or feel divided from, somebody who might even be your enemy. And I want you to repeat after me, they are God's beloved child. And his blessing is upon them. In this, let's trust that Jesus is at work, leading us, convicting us, spurring us on to be more and more like him. As we receive that blessing for ourselves, as we share it with those whom we love, even as we share it with those who we struggle to love. Doesn't mean we condone their actions, by the way. Doesn't mean we're blessing in the sense of you go do whatever you want. It means instead that I am affirming your fundamental belovedness, that you too are an image bearer, someone made in the image of God. When we know that to be true for ourselves, we can start to share it with those around us. In Jesus' name.